This is Lisa DeLay, and you are listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. This is Soul School Lesson 101. Welcome back, my friends. I'm happy to be with you at the beginning of summer 2018. And I was having a difficult time deciding what to do this week. And I was troubled by that, and I started going online, and then I found a bunch of links to different pieces of poetry, and I was inspired once again. And I thought I would bring you three pieces of poetry that are all very unique, and I would talk just a little bit about them, and I thought that sharing them with you would bring some delight to your day, and I hope soothe your soul in some way and give you something to think about and maybe some personal insights, I hope. And if you listen to this episode more than one time, two or three times, I think you'll find that the poems grow deeper and richer for you, and you'll get quite a bit more out of them. The first poem is called You, If No One Else, by Tino Villanueva. Listen, you, who transformed your anguish into healthy awareness. Put your voice where your memory is. You who swallowed the afternoon dust, defend everything you understand with words. You, if no one else, will condemn with your tongue the erosion each disappointment brings. You who saw the images of disgust growing will understand how time devours the destitute. You who give yourself your own commandments know better than anyone why you turned your back on your own town's toughest limits. Don't hush. Don't throw away the most persistent truth, as our hard-headed brethren sometimes do. Remember well what your life was like, cloudiness and slick mud after a drizzle, flimsy windows the wind kept rattling in winter, and that unheated slab dwelling where coldness crawled up in your clothes. Tell how you were able to come to this point to unbar history's doors, to see your early years, your people, the others. Name the way rebellion's calm spirit has served you, and how you came to unlearn the lessons of that teacher, your land's omnipotent defiler. Tino Villanueva, You, If No One Else, and that was from The Chronicle of My Worst Fears, copyright 1994. And Tino is a Hispanic Texan. He is the son of migrant workers, and he teaches in Texas. One of the things I love about that poem is a kind of revisiting of one's old life, or one's own history, one's old town and places. And I like how he talks about going back and speaking about something that only you can know and only you can separate from. And he talks about, you, if no one else, will condemn with your tongue the erosion each disappointment brings. I think it's a fantastic turn of phrase there. Speaking a little bit about some of his own life, the unheated slab dwelling where coldness crawled up in your clothes, probably referring to some of his childhood or early life as the son of migrant workers, and also talking about name the way rebellion's calm spirit has served you. I like that term of resilience and the term of resistance and resilience that gets you out of childhood into adulthood and on into your own way of living and being in the world, separate but yet grounded in your roots and your past history. I've been thinking a lot of that in my own terms for myself. And what does that mean? Because we all come from a place that sometimes we reject those places or those teachings or the way of life that we've come from, and other times we cling to it. And sometimes a mix of both is really important, to revisit all those things, to take the things with us that can withstand the fire and are useful to us and are valuable to us. The gold that's been refined by fire, and that wisdom and keep it with us and remember what has pained us by those scars, but not be continue to be brutalized by them and putting those wounds and hurt onto other people, and yet coming into our own in a new and fresh way so we can be a light into the world and hopefully have compassion for people who've been in similar situations. The next poem I'm going to read is by Dean Young, and it's entitled, I Am But a Traveler in This Land and Know Little of Its Ways. And one of the reasons I'm reading this poem is because there's an absurdist quality to it, and there's a surrealism about some of this poetry that I found quite humorous and enjoyable. And also there's a depth to it that I appreciate in the midst of all of that. And it ends in a little bit of an absurd way, but the poet tries to juxtapose things together to bring new ideas and new concepts together that you might not ordinarily think of. And I appreciate that generative quality to it. So as I read this, you can also understand as well that some of it is purposefully trying to make 100% make sense. Is everything a field of energy caused by human projection? From the crib bars hang the teething tools. Above the finger-drummed desk, a bit lip. The cyclone fence of butts surrounds the soccer field of what if. Sometimes it seems like a world where no one knows what he or she is doing. 8 lanes, both directions. How about a polymer that contracts in response to electrical charge? A swimming pool on the 18th floor? King Lear, done by sock puppets. Anyone who has traveled here knows the discrepancies between idea and fact. The idea is the worm in the tequila, and the next day is the fact. In between may be the sacred, real blood from the wooden virgin's eyes and the hoax. Landing sites in cornfields. Maybe ideas are best sprung from actions, like the children of Zeus. One gives us elastic and the omelet, another nightmares and SUVs. There's considerable wobble in the system, and the fan belt screams, waking the baby, swaying in the darkened nursery, kissing the baby-smelling head. Good idea. But also sadness, looking at the sea. The stranded whale, guided out of the cove by tugboats, turns and swims back in. The violinist will not let go her violin, which is 200 years old and still on the train. Thus, she is dragged down the track. By what manner is the soul joined to the body? Answer, an arm connecting a violin to a violinist. According to Freud, there are no accidents. Astrologists and Presbyterians agree for different reasons. If you fall down the stairs with a birthday cake, you try to fit a blunderbuss into a laptop. Human consciousness, is it the projector or the screen? They come in orange jumpsuits and spray the grass so that everything dies but the grass. It is too late to ask Kafka what he thinks. Sometimes they give you a box of ash, a handshake, and the rest is your problem. In one version, the beggar turns out to be a king and grants the poor couple a castle and a moat and 2 silver horses said to be sired by the wind. That was before dentistry, which might have been a better gift. You did not want to get sick in the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, or 18th centuries. So too, the 19th and the 20th were to be avoided, but the doctor coming to bleed you is the master of the short story. After the kiss, from whom he will never know, the lieutenant going home touches a bush in which birds are singing. There's so much to that poem, I hardly know where to start, but one of the best places to start is to listen to the poem over again, probably 3 or 4 times. And it's just packed full of conundrums and puzzles and riddles and paradoxes that I think leave us open to a lot of different kinds of quandaries about what life is like here and how little we know about life and all its mysteries and all the strangeness of how we construct our world here and how there's so much to this life that we have trouble understanding in so many ways we make it more difficult on ourselves. The last poem is by Lucille Clifton. It's called Blessing the Boats. It's a great way to end this episode. Before I end this episode, though, I would like to invite you to go to sparkmymuse.com, check out the archives. This has been a fantastic year for a great many wonderful guests from all different sorts of backgrounds, and I have just had a wonderful year of having new subscribers, a great variety of listeners, and a great variety of guests, and many happy listeners writing to me and telling me that they appreciate the program, which I'm very grateful for. If you have a chance to go into the archives for this year and just check out and see which ones you missed, or just take a look into the archives from the past few years, I would appreciate that. And as well as, please recommend this program to someone else. Send them a link or just mention it in passing conversation. And I would appreciate if you would share this program with other people so it can get around. If you have somebody in mind that you think would make a great fit for this program, I would love to hear from you. So send me an email at contact@sparkmymuse.com. Sometimes those recommendations turn out to be fantastic guests and new friends for me, and I deeply appreciate those recommendations. So now to the final poem, Blessing the Boats by Lucille Clifton at St. Mary's. May the tide that is entering even now, the lip of our understanding, carry you out beyond the face of fear. May you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love you back. May you open your eyes to water, water waving forever, and may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. Fantastic poem by Lucille Clifton, gifted poet. All these poems can be found at the Poetry Foundation, poetryfoundation.org. I encourage you to check out that wonderful resource. And I will also include links to these poems, reflection questions, and some extras in the show notes for free if you go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. And there you will also have an opportunity, if you want to support the show, starting at $1 and going all the way up. $10, you can get a t-shirt, and that really helps me put this program together and be able to afford what it costs to host the program and the sound files. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week with special guest Lily Percy, the executive producer of On Being and the host of This Movie Changed Me.